I will give you a heads up, even though it is a family service, it's probably not that suitable for the young ones. So Victoria does have some colouring stuff if any of them get particularly bored and would like to do some colouring. Five-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen as his mother made supper. She asked him to go to the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup. Johnny didn't want to go in there alone. It was dark and he was scared. She asked again, but still Johnny resisted. Finally, Mum explained to Johnny, "It's okay, Johnny. Jesus will be there with you." Johnny walked hesitantly over to the door and he slowly opened it. He peeked inside, he saw it was dark, and he started to leave. Suddenly, Johnny remembered what his mother had said. An idea came to him. He stopped, he poked his head back inside the door, and he whispered, "Jesus, if you're in there, can you pass the tomato soup, please?" He was halfway there. Niece, this is quite echoey. Okay, so today I just want to talk a little bit about facing our giants. And I want to start off by asking you what some of the giants are that you feel you're facing in your life at the moment. Now, some of those are going to be really personal and you might not want to share. But anybody want to share about any of the giants that they feel as though they're facing? Anybody? Sorry? Family problems. That can be a huge, huge giant, yeah. Anybody else? Pain, yeah. Sickness, yeah. Temptations, yeah. Financial. Huge, huge giants. The story we're going to look at today is from Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it is really, really big, but I would encourage you to read the whole of the chapter. I'm just going to start at verse 45. David replied to the Philistines, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." We've all heard of the story of David and Goliath, 1,000 times probably. The story is of a young shepherd boy who faces a huge giant. Every day in our lives, we run into our own giants. Okay, generally we don't have to battle a 9-foot man with armor and swords and, you know, a whole army behind him, but we do have to face those giants in our lives. A lot of them can be too big for us to handle on our own, and a lot of them are things that can distract us from God. They come in different shapes and sizes, different types, and they tend to always show up uninvited. We've talked about some of the giants. They can be fear and loneliness, guilt and shame, worry, depression, hopelessness, broken relationships, financial struggles or debt, addictions, poor health. And we ought to be clear as well, we don't have to be an adult to experience the giants in our lives. Young people have problems. In fact, young people have problems today that many of us as adults never had to deal with when we were their age. I remember somebody reading something once about then and now, and I tried to find it and I couldn't find it, but I remember one of the things was, you know, in our day, a crack was a crack in the wall, you know? Today, crack is a drug that our kids are having to deal with, having to face. Coke was a soft drink. Again, Coke is now something that's, you know, far from a soft drink. Our young people are having to face giants in their lives that we never had to face. And it's really important, just as a side, is that we do continue to support our young people and pray for them. You know, I go through some of the Sunday school, Tracy goes through the Sunday school with the older kids, and I'm sure they probably don't share half of you know, what they face in their lives with us, but they are facing giants, you know, and as I said, you don't have to be an adult to face these giants. Let's remember with our young people and keep praying for them, keep supporting them. In fact, it seems like the world gets more confusing and the giants get bigger for each new generation that comes along. Sometimes it feels as though every time we turn around, there's a new giant. It can be a giant in school. It can be a giant at home. It can be a giant in work. It can even be a giant in the church that we're facing. What name would you give the giants in your life today? So we've talked about what some of the giants could be. Now we're going to look really quickly at how we deal with those giants in our lives. So going back to our story, we look at this shepherd boy. The odds were completely stacked against him. I would have used Benga, but Benga's hiding up there today. Lucky for you. David was a shepherd boy. He was a young boy. He wasn't in the army. He wasn't used to fighting, other than fighting off lions and bears and whatever else was trying to go after the sheep that he was looking after. This Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. And on top of that, he didn't have a problem letting everybody know how big and bad he was. And that's quite interesting to think. Sometimes things can seem bigger than they are in our lives, particularly when we let that problem convince us of how bad it is. For 40 days and nights, Goliath let the people of Israel know how tough he was. He made sure that they knew he was Goliath. He had never been beaten in battle. He'd crushed armies with a single hand. The Israelite army was mentally defeated before they'd even started. And a lot of times we can do the same thing, whether we're young or old. We allow the giants in our lives to defeat us before the battle even starts. But we've got to realize, as David did, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can learn a lesson from David. He didn't give up when the giants came into his life. David purposed that he would trust the Lord at all times. Its greatest weapon in the battle was not the slingshot and the five small stones. It was faith. He believed in God. So looking at how we use this weapon of faith against our giants, well, first of all, the weapon of faith has power when we realize it's not about self-reliance, it's about God-reliance. David was shocked and stunned by what he'd seen. He wasn't a soldier. He was only there because his father had sent him to take some care packages for his brothers. David couldn't believe that no one in the army of Israel would take up Goliath's challenge. To him, it was pretty simple. Goliath had committed the unforgivable sin. He challenged God's army. Goliath had defiled God himself. So this was now a matter of God's honor and glory. But how could David be so confident? This was biblical faith, fully demonstrated and operational in this young boy's life. In the New Testament, it says, "For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." It's not courage based on anything that comes from us. It's courage in the Lord. Not self-reliance, God-reliance. Secondly, the weapon of faith has power when we remember our past victories in the Lord. Somewhere along the line, David had learned that God could be trusted. No doubt he'd heard about the story of God that had told Moses centuries earlier. "The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. He will fight your enemies. He will give you victory." That's another reason why it's really, really important for us to soak up the Bible. Reading and absorbing God's word will remind us of the things that God's people have faced and overcome in his strength over the years. If God did it then he can still do it now. But David had also experienced God's power at a personal level. He tells Saul how God had enabled him to kill wild predators. He told Saul, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine." When we face new giants, we need to remind ourselves of the giants in our lives that God has already defeated. God's faithfulness in the past should give us every confidence to face the giants of the future, with confidence and with courage. Okay, here's a whammy for you. Charles Spurgeon, a godly pastor from the 1800s, put it like this. "Some saints have very short memories. We write our benefits in dust and our injuries in marble. And it is equally true that we generally inscribe our afflictions upon brass, while the records of our deliverances of God are written in water. It ought not to be so." Well, I read that and thought, what on earth is he talking about? A little confusing. But what he's saying is that we can forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. We remember our defeats, and we can forget our victories. David remembered that God had been faithful in his past. He had hope in a hopeless situation. In verse 37, it says, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistines." To David, Goliath was just another animal. He was just another problem. David knew that God had delivered him from his giants in his past. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God would deliver him this time. Whether we know it or not, we have a past that is full of God's faithfulness. How many of us know that? How many of us know that God has been so faithful in our lives? And he promises that we'll have the same future if we put our trust in him. And thirdly, the weapon of faith has power when we realize that the battle is the Lord's and not ours. Try and picture the scene in the valley of Elah. A small stream separating on one side this huge 400-500-pound man dressed in heavy armour, holding a spear in one hand. And you can imagine, for Goliath, this army that he was wearing was probably as heavy as a small woman. The sword would have been as heavy as a young infant or a baby. This guy was huge to have been able to carry that off. And on the other side, you had the small shepherd boy, clothed just in a simple tunic, holding a sling, and four small stones. There they faced each other. Goliath would have been completely insulted and enraged. Israel had sent out this scrawny little kid. He fumed and cursed everything and everyone. Then it was David's turn. And David said, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." I wonder if we could adapt David's speech when facing our own giants today. I wonder what that would look like. It would be a pretty amazing speech. But can we say to our giants today, "This is the Lord's battle"? I also think it's really important to say, we've talked about how we face these battles in our lives and how God is there, and God is always there. He's our strength. But it is also important to say there's something else about faith and the giants in our lives, and that is that God doesn't always remove every giant the moment we ask him to. Sometimes those giants stick around a while. Having faith doesn't always change those difficult circumstances in our lives or even the conditions of our hearts. But we have to hang on in there. We have to keep fighting and keep exercising that faith. That's what God calls us to do. Faith in the hands of God may not always change things immediately, but it will change us over time. God used David's faith to transform a mere shepherd into a mighty warrior. And as we continue to exercise faith, God will work tremendous victories in our lives. We started our story looking at a young shepherd boy. This same shepherd boy became the king of Israel. He was described as a man after God's own heart. And David understood who God was. He was the one who confidently declared, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David made mistakes, of course he did. He wasn't perfect. We look at David's life later on. David was a murderer, he was an adulterer. There was lots of things that David battled in his life. But God was always faithful. And David kept his trust in God. David trusted God to be bigger than his giants. How many of you have heard of Tony Campolo, an American pastor, author, and a public speaker? He's confronted by an atheist who also happened to be one of his students. The young man told Campolo, "For me to believe in God, I have to have a God that I can understand." Campolo replied, "God refuses to be that small." So the question I want to just leave all of us is how big is our God? How big do we allow God to be in comparison to the giants that we face in our lives? Day read a verse and Judith picked up on the verse from Hebrews. "Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised." When we leave here today, how big are we going to allow our God to be in comparison to the giants that we face? Victoria disappeared. There she is. Victoria's going to come out and
pray. I just want to share this with you. This is one of my favorite passages, especially when I was in college, because when I'm going through the exams, this is what I'll read it and say, and put my name there. This passage is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And it's when Jehoshaphat was going into war, and then he prayed to the Lord. That was his giant then. So it was in verse 15, 2 Chronicles 20, 15. And he said, "Listen, all you people of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And then in 17, it says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Just position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." That's why I want to leave with you. The Lord is with you. Whatever the battle, the Lord is there. He said, do not fear. I can't count how many times the Lord says, do not fear in the Bible. It's because He doesn't want you to fear. He doesn't want you to be afraid of those giants. His is to deal with the giant. Yours is to trust Him and stand behind Him and say, my God is there to battle the giant. All you need to do is to trust and put your trust in Him. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much because we can rely on you. Because you are our rock. You are our strength. You are our refuge. And you have told us not to be afraid. Father, what is it? We are asking you this morning that. And we are laying down every giant in our lives, Father. Everything that seems like a mountain, Father. and it's so hard to conquer? Is it addiction? Is it financial? Is it health? Father, you are mighty. You are greater than anything. So we bring everything to your authority this morning. And we ask you afresh, Father, to slay those giants for us. As David slayed the giants that day, he slayed Goliath. Our Goliaths are here, Father. And we bring them down to you, Lord. And we trust you, because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to continue to trust you in everything, Lord, and to focus on you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.